You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Jeff, and I will be your host today.
What?
Like, legitimately. I will be reading questions that I wrote.
Jeff was contractually obligated to appear once every 3 years.
I'm glad it's only 3 years because I've always had a lot of respect for people who come on the show and write questions, but this week in particular. So.
Oh, yeah. It's like if you hate these questions, just let us know because Jeff is not sensitive at all.
No.
It's like an urban legend.
Actually,
though.
If you tell me you hate it, that'll get me out of writing one again. So I'm cool with that.
Oh. Ken,
weaponized incompetence.
You're sporting some very interesting and dare I say not needed pants in the studio.
They're just pants.
They have a art on it from a movie.
Oh, I see what you mean. I'm not wearing these, just for clarity. But we found some Schindler's List leggings online. I guess they're semi-viral. But it's just like scenes from Schindler's List on leggings. Like, I thought this was a good idea?
It was just the list written down the leg.
Oh, no.
That'd so Matt's closet is Zubas, hammer pants, and Schindler's List leggings.
What a bad idea. What a terrible, terrible idea.
It was a really bad idea.
I hate everything about this.
But I'm still going to buy some for Neil.
You should.
A big Spielberg fan.
You should. Well, I'm a big Spielberg fan. And
not
one of my...
that big. There are lines, Ken.
Well, no, I am a big Spielberg fan, but one of my dreams is to have Ben Kingsley on my ass at all times.
He does take those roles sometimes.
He does. He's a sexy beast.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
I don't know where to go with that.
Yeah, it's a tough transition.
We'll transition to our own sexy beast, Jeff. We have some guests.
We do.
Joining us today.
We've got coming to us, Savage Superstars, Christian McGurk and Aaron Murtaugh from Alexandria, Virginia. They're joining us together. How are you doing today?
We're doing great. We're super excited to be here.
Yeah, we probably in our third listen of the entire Triviality catalog, so we're at least well-versed on the trivia that has happened, but we're prepared for some surprises today.
I'm always prepared for surprises.
That's awesome.
You're better.
Apparently, I forget everything I've ever heard and seen.
I was going to say they're better than us because I don't remember anything that's ever been on the show.
Yeah, they've listened to it 3 more times than
yes.
I have.
It's true.
So I wanted to step in because we were emailing before you appeared today, and there is an engagement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And yes, we were actually listening to Triviality when we got engaged. When Christian popped the question, we both had our AirPods in, and we were listening to an episode on the beach when he got down on one knee.
I can't remember which episode it was.
Don't do that.
Is that true?
You need to propose again.
True. Yeah.
I forgot to mention in my first email, Christian was like, did you mention that we were listening to Triviality when we got engaged? And I was I forgot. I forgot to mention that.
That's an honor that is
wholly
unbefitting us.
I think it was still going on.
I love that Dutch
we
boy was there.
jokes.
I was going to say, yeah. Dutch Boy was there in your most intimate moment.
Yeah.
As he should be.
Say really yes, please. Say yes, please.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm an eighth grade science teacher here in Virginia. And I'm originally from Boston, but moved down here and I absolutely love it. And I've been here for about 5 years now.
Yeah. And I'm from Arlington, Virginia. So I'm actually about 15 minutes away from where I grew up. I'm an analyst, government contractor, and that's pretty much all I can say. So.
And he's got, I'll step in here.
Oh, yeah.
He's a chemical engineering degree and a physics degree. So he's a little shy, but he's a big science guy.
It's a good team for a Jeff game.
It
I
is
imagine.
Like the perfect team. Yeah.
I would think so.
And
although I wrote more movie questions than you'd be expecting from me.
No spoilers.
But, well, I believe the bet for this game is if a Triviality team loses, then we have to marry them both and get ordained. But if we win, they can get someone probably most likely better.
Yeah, way better.
Way better than
most
us.
Most likely better.
Very probably.
So you're going to be playing together, and you had a team name based on a wonderful friend that we met right before the recording started.
Yes, we have two very loud, well, usually they're pretty quiet, but as soon as we start talking, they love to be loud parrots. And we have one feisty one whose name is actually Pepe now, but we recently found out he's a boy. We thought he was a girl for the longest time, and his name was Penny. So our trivia name has been Penny Pinchers for the longest time. We decided just to run with it still.
Penny can be a guy's name too. Hey.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, or any kind of parrot's name. I don't think they really care too much.
No, I don't think they're picky.
Yeah.
No, they're not big on their social media handles.
I think Penny's more like a quiet, like nice little bird. He's very.
So it doesn't befit the personality.
He's a brat.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So we got the Penny Pinchers.
He's a Pepe. He's a little feisty.
All right. We got the Penny Pinchers. And how about you guys? Neil and Matt going to team up against them?
We're going along the lines of the money theme, and we're going to honor the George Clooney, Julia Roberts, underseen classic. Apparently, I haven't seen it. Money Monsters.
Nobody's seen it. Has anyone seen it?
I don't know if anyone's seen it. We're going to be Money Monsters.
Okay, sounds good. So it's PP versus Eminem, and let's get the rules.
The rules of the game are simple. 20 questions split into two rounds worth 10 points apiece. At halftime, there'll be a special swing round designed by this week's host. After regulation, players will enter the final round with the points that they've accumulated and will have a chance to wager 0 to 30 points on 5 categorized questions. At the end of the game, someone will be named the cream of the crop.
I am the cream!
Jeff, you want to kick us off here?
I do. Actually, you guys don't know this, totally unbeknownst to you. Before we get started, I actually have a few things I wanted to say.
He's airing the airing of grievances. It's Festivus.
This is his last episode.
It is not my last episode, but...
he's taking his shirt off.
That's right. I'm getting the poll. We don't really, you know, I know we've joked about Neil was promoting his book recently and he was, you know, too humble to even promote it himself, which is why we kept coming up with ridiculous names like, you know, Neil has a book, you should buy it now, which I understand is a favorite of Christian and Aaron. But we're gonna pass 5 years here in between the time we recorded this episode and when the episode comes out. Mm-hmm. And holy cow.
That's a toddler.
That is a toddler. A kindergartner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 250 episodes. Mm-hmm. Plus, no breaks.
We only almost missed 1 week,
but not a single week.
We no one will ever know which week we almost missed. Because
who's to say?
We've also put out more than 100 bonus episodes that are publicly available.
Yep.
2 video miniseries on YouTube, Bloodsport. 40 plus Patreon exclusive bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm.
We have more than 1,000 members in the crop. Followers on Discord, Instagram, and Twitter.
Is this the State of the Union?
What it's not the State of the Union. Okay. No, I just
state
wanted
of the podcast.
I just wanted to say
strong.
Thank you.
Yeah, we never talk about it. That's true.
We know that there's thousands of you that listen to and enjoy the show that we don't get the pleasure of interacting with, but we appreciate it. I it's given me a lot of perspective thinking back over the last 5 years. We have over 450 patrons, and the show would not be possible without them.
Mm-hmm.
Their direct financial support allows us to continue, and we've really upped the quality over the years. Just go back to listen to our first few episodes.
Or don't.
Apologies to anybody who's been with us that long. But
I don't like people always start from the first episode.
Thanks for sticking with us. As I mentioned earlier, I had to write the game this week. I know how tough that is. So just a big thanks to everyone who's taking the time to be on the show, especially anyone's taking the time to write a game. So that's it. I don't know.
Sounded like a resignation there. Yeah.
It's not a resignation. No, I'm just...
All right. We will all miss Jeff. All right.
Are you or are you not a crook?
No, thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's been great.
Yeah. And, I think over the next 5 years, we can keep...
Five more years.
I mean, at the current rate, I think we can. I think it's possible that some of us might actually be able to transition to a full-time opportunity with the show if we keep growing. So... Just a reminder, tell your friends and families. Mm-hmm. The more listeners we have, the more ability we'll have to continue to improve the show and make some of our dreams a reality. Yep. And if you're capable of supporting us on Patreon, we're very honored. Obviously, if you don't have the means or don't want to support us, that's okay. We're going to still be here. We'll still be producing episodes.
We'll still release a free podcast every week.
We don't need your money that bad, so don't feel bad. I know people who are, they're like, oh, I want to give, but I can't. Don't ever feel guilty about that. But if you can, support
$1 a day.
That would be great.
And buy Neil's book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you did buy the book, thank you very much. And if you do me the honor of leaving a review on Amazon, or if you got it like a Barnes & Noble or Target or something, that'll help the visibility. So if you could just leave a review, even if you didn't like it, I appreciate it. Just leave one, at least so it'll, get people to look at it. So
that was it. I just want to say thank you. 5 more years. I'm looking forward to it with the three of you.
Well, thank you. So. We appreciate that. And thank you for saying that, because we haven't had an ad in 5 years, and that wasn't really an ad. It was more of a thank you, but...
It wasn't an ad.
Yeah.
We've been sleeping in the same bed for 5 years.
I know. We're like Grandpa Joe or Uncle Joe.
We got to get up awfully early. It doesn't make sense.
I'm telling you, they sent us that chocolate factory. We are out the door. Hey, let's get some questions.
I think we can do that now.
Now we're all teary-eyed, so let's play trivia.
I don't know how to cry anymore. All right, we will kick it off with the only logical place to do so. Question one. If you didn't come to party, don't bother knocking on my door. The Cayman Islands are home to more businesses than people, as the country is well known as a corporate tax haven. Of the over 100,000 entities registered there, 19,000 are listed under just one address in Georgetown, the Ugland House. This building bears the following inscription, MCMXCIX. What does that mean in Roman numerals?
Yeah, I was thinking of the same thing, but I don't know if that's correct, but at least this one is that one number.
Riveting.
We are going to lock
in
with a guess, an informed guess.
An informed guess? Ooh. We'll let Christian and Aaron talk about it. Yeah.
All right, I think we're good over
here. What do you have?
Well, we were thinking about the hint of party and then some, random string of number or letters dropped. And we're like, well, party like it's 1999, maybe. That's what we're sticking with.
We are also partying like it's 1999.
Yeah, that's actually lyrics from the song. If you didn't come to party, don't bother knocking on my door, is directly from Prince's 1999.
All right.
To start.
Both on the board. First question.
All right.
And it's all downhill from there. Question two. Some people are born to greatness, and others always might just be born under a bad moon. Which artist can proudly say that they have the privilege of being the artist with the highest number of number two Billboard hits without ever hitting number one? You guys can discuss.
Penny Pinchers locked in.
So they're locked in right away. You said highest number of number twos without reaching number one?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking at a list of people that you'd be surprised didn't reach number one on the Billboard. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Springsteen was one of them.
Who sings that song? Isn't that Creedence Clearwater who sings Bad Moon Rising or whatever?
I don't know.
Do you remember when one of our friends accidentally said CCR instead of CPR? I posited that you should, instead of staying alive, you should do the compressions to Bone on a Bayou.
I mean, that is a good guess. I'm thinking of that lead singer, and I can't think of his name.
I know CCR also never hit number one.
But they have so many hits. That's why I'm wondering if it's them.
Well, let's do that then. I'm okay with some CCR.
Do you want to try CCR? Okay, I'm just thinking because of the Bad Moon. So
Okay.
All right, we'll lock in CCR.
And penny pinchers, what'd you come up with?
So one of like the most commonly misquoted song lyrics is there's a bathroom on the right, but it's actually there's a bad moon on the rise. And we happen to know that was a CCR song. So that's what we locked in with the same.
I can happily tell you that Bad Moon was a clue. If that one didn't get you, I also said Proudly for Proud Mary. It is CCR.
Sweet.
If you got a lot of number twos, though, you might want a bathroom on the road.
What's the name of the main guy that I can't think of?
John Fogerty.
Oh, Fogerty. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
His brother was also in the band, Tom Fogerty, I believe.
Okay.
Not Chad Fogerty.
Not Chad Fogerty.
He was in Nickelback.
Not even in Nickelback. Okay. But, is that a Penny Pinchers pun there?
I don't know what it is.
Question number three. Coober Pedy is a town in northern South Australia, which is notable for a few things. The town is sometimes referred to as the opal capital of the world because of the quantity of precious opals that are mined there. But that's not what this question is about. Its scorching daytime heat has caused residents to live like some desert-dwelling animals. What is the other thing that Coober Pedy is renowned for?
I mean, it sounds like it's in Australia, so we're looking for some sort of wild animal
sounds
that's,
like it, yeah.
That's okay in the desert and high heat.
Correct, because it's not about opals. I made that clear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about tunnels? It's got a lot of underground tunnels.
Yeah, it could have a lot of underground tunnels.
That's what, you know, moles, yeah. Snakes, they got tunnels, right? When it's hot.
I think they do. Well, we can lock in with one of those then, one of those simple...
Whole bunch of tunnels.
All right, we're going to lock in over here.
We were thinking it's houses underground because we were trying to think of what desert animals might do. And I think I remember seeing a Netflix show where they were having like Airbnb competition. And there was a couple who had a house underground in Australia. So we're going underground houses on this one.
And you guys locked in with tunnels? Tunnels everywhere?
Yeah.
Tunnels.
All right, Ken, you're going to have to decide if that's good enough for credit. But I have that it's the town with the highest percentage of wholly underground homes.
I think tunnels. I think I was nowhere near tunnels. So based on my distance from saying tunnels, I think they should get points.
Okay, I'll let you decide that.
I think they were in the right ballpark there.
Yeah, yes. Living underground mostly. That was the gist of it.
Like holes. Or yeah. Dennis Leary and Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm. Points for everyone.
Points all around. This has been a really good start for everyone.
Yeah, we like
it. I know, 3 for 3.
Keep it going.
All right,
maybe question. I just wanted to continue the trend.
Question 4. From French and meaning jumped or bounced in reference to tossing while cooking, what is the method of cooking that uses a relatively small amount of oil or fat in a shallow pan over relatively high heat?
We're locked in over here.
Penny pinchers locked in.
Would this be seared?
Could be, yeah. Does it have to do with the exclamation of throwing stuff up, did you say, or no?
It's French for jump or bounce.
I'm just trying to...
Saute.
That could be it. I mean, that's a low amount of oil where you just let it simmer.
Yeah.
I'm good with saute.
Okay, we are going to lock in with saute.
Yeah, we locked in with saute. So Erin is like really experienced in like the food and wine categories, so that's kind of her domain. And I took like 6 years of Spanish, and I remember saltar meant to jump in Spanish. So I eat every day.
A
couple little angles there.
Well, everyone's correct. It is saute.
Wow.
Wow.
Has this ever happened before?
I saute everything.
Yeah.
I don't use my oven. I'm impatient. I'm an impatient cook. So I saute everything.
Yeah.
10 minutes. Everything?
Everything.
Everything.
I think 10 minutes on medium heat is 5 minutes on high heat.
That's right.
I don't know if that quite
no,
works.
That's how it works.
Okay, good to know. You're in food service, so I trust you. You have a safety certification.
That's the triviality cooking show.
Everything's half raw.
Remember to cut corners.
Yeah.
You know, 160 for chicken is basically 165, so just pull that thing off.
This is not advice.
No, I never trust anything we say on this show. All right, question 5. At 32 years, 28 days, Damien Chazelle is the youngest Academy Award winner for Best Director for his work on the 2016 film La La Land. By comparison, Which director, whose nomination at 24 years, 44 days, has him as the current record holder for youngest nominee? His debut film put not only himself, but an up-and-coming Cuba Gooding Jr. on the map.
So this has to... Cuba Gooding Jr. came out around the scene of what, like 94, 95?
Oh, I know who it is. We can lock in.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I'm glad that I jogged your memory.
You did.
With
you
it.
Actually did. When you were like, when you said that, it
the
got
year?
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to lock in over here.
All right, Penny Pinchers, feel free to talk it out.
Okay. So, yeah, we kind of are on the Jerry Maguire director path, but we don't
we have no
know
idea.
Who directed Jerry Maguire. We're trying to do some math, I guess. I don't know, like, I have no clue how old David Fincher is, but I like him.
It's as good as we're
yeah,
gonna
we're
get.
Not, I don't think we're going to get this one, so.
I would love to see the Fincher version of Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
All right, and so they're locking in with Jerry Maguire. No, I know David Fincher. And Neil, you think you came up with it?
Yeah, so at first I was thinking along the lines of Aaron and Christian. They were thinking of Cameron Crowe, who wouldn't have been that young for Jerry Maguire. But I remember a great director who got nominated when he was young in 1991, I think, and it was John Singletary for Boys in the Hood.
I believe Boys in the Hood was directed by John Singleton.
What did I say, Singletary?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking of the football player. Yeah, John Singleton, you're correct. Yes.
No Sorry. Points.
No points.
That was
no
my bad,
points.
Yeah.
Although I would like to see the David Fincher version of Boys in the Hood.
Yes.
Or directed by Mike Singletary.
I want to see every movie as directed by David.
Yes.
Unfortunately, John Singleton is no longer with us. So
mm-hmm. Yep.
If you were thinking of a director who is about 50 now, that wouldn't,
That would not be helpful.
That would not be helpful.
See, the muscle relaxer did come into play, Matt. I knew it was going to. Thinking of Mike Singletary.
All right, Ken, what's our scores after five?
Looks like it's 40 to 40. So equal money going around.
That's a score that's unheard of in a Jeff game. All right. Question six. Hans Wilsdorf was a businessman who established the Hans Wilsdorf Foundation in 1945. Upon his death in 1960, he gave 100% ownership stake in which luxury business to the foundation. As a result, the Hans Wilsdorf Foundation is likely the least famous parent company of any brand to date. Being a part of the foundation, the company donates much of its income to charity and social causes. There's no requirement to disclose financial or charitable donations under local law, so the company is a master of paying no corporate taxes as a result of being owned by the foundation.
We can lock in over here.
Oh.
Really?
I know this one from people who evade taxes. I have a little list that I keep.
Is it me? Because I paid those taxes.
I crossed Matt off the list like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison.
We were thinking of Disney just because I know they recently got their tax exemption revoked by the governor of Florida, and that's what we're gonna go with. We have no other inklings.
And Neil, you think you're onto this one?
I think so. Hopefully making up for my Singletary gaffe there. But I believe doing research on this person foundation, I think it's Rolex.
So you are correct. I said that the company is the master of paying no corporate taxes. The GMT Master is one of their most famous watch styles. It is Rolex.
I know, because I have several. That's where all the patriarchy
there weren't a lot of hints I could drop in there.
Are they Rolex or Nolex?
Rolex.
Well, if you could
Folex,
look, if you look at my wrists, you can see that they're Nolex.
But well done. That's a good pull, Neil. All right. Question seven. This one was recently inspired by a Patreon bonus. There's a biological phenomenon seen in animals whereby males exhibit renewed sexual interest whenever a new female is introduced, even after sex with prior but still available sexual partners. To a lesser extent, this effect is also seen among females with regard to their mates. This phenomenon is oddly named after which rather reclusive U.S. president? Behavioral endocrinologist Frank A. Beach claimed in a 1974 letter to have introduced the term, attributing the neologism to an old joke about the man from when he was president.
Now, Jeff, I told you this stuff in confidence. And I really wish you wouldn't drag it out on the podcast.
So, if you are not on Patreon and you want to hear weird animal sex stuff, check us out, patreon.com/trivialitypodcast.
That was a great bonus episode. All right, they're locked in at the Penny Pinchers. What do you guys have?
All right, so they're locked in. So this is what we have. So I wrote down sex letters president, the guy who named his penis. I can't remember who that was.
Probably all of them.
Yeah. And
little,
then
little Jimmy.
I'm sure.
Bachelor president.
With, yeah.
Was that Harding? Harding or Fillmore? Fillmore, that was a president.
I think it was Harding.
Harding.
It would be great if it,
if it was called the Harding effect.
So the Harding effect.
Okay, so probably not.
So probably not that one. Jeff showed his hand there.
Yeah, they're
insulting. Did I, though?
Maybe not. who's the guy on Parks and Rec that Leslie, they have that big ball that they push that she goes to the conference? That guy, they have a joke about him. Is it the Tippecanoe and Tyler, too? Tyler, right?
We could say Tyler.
Because I remember they make a lot of jokes about Tyler.
Okay.
But, and I know Jeff loves
Parks
and Rec.
He seemed like he'd be a freak.
Yeah.
I believe John Tyler did have more than 10 kids. So
yeah.
Oh, so then he wasn't a recluse.
That's not very recluse.
Yeah.
you guys are saying Tyler.
Yeah. Tyler or Harding?
Let's go Tyler.
Tyler. Okay.
We went with Calvin Coolidge because we know he was the silent president, right?
Yeah, well known for being the silent type, but actually he was one of the first presidents to really embrace media. It was Calvin Coolidge. This is the Coolidge effect.
That's what I was actually thinking of.
I was trying to think of him, too. I couldn't think of his name, though.
So this apparently comes from a story where President and Mrs. Coolidge were being shown around an experimental government farm. Mrs. Coolidge noted that one of the roosters was mating very frequently, and she asked the attendant how often that happened, and she said, dozens of times a day, to which she responded, tell that to the president when he comes by.
Sick burn, Miss Coolidge.
He came by, and upon being told, he said, is it the same hen every time? And the reply was, no, Mr. President. And he said, well, tell that to Mrs. Coolidge.
Wow.
I'll take things that never happened for 500.
Mrs. Coolidge would have been a lot more happy if he wasn't so silent.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Question 8. I had to write 2 sports questions for Matt to make him happy. This is one of them. Playing from 1969 to 1989 for the Lakers and Bucks, which incredible point scorer's feat is made even more impressive by the fact that he only had one successful 3-point shot in his 20-year career.
We're locked in.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be now famous writer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right?
Yeah, famous pilot. Right?
Famous pilot as well, who drags Bill Laimbeer up and down the court, right? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he big on layups?
There was no 3-pointer for the first 10 years of his career, so that helps keep those numbers down a little bit.
It does, right? But he also missed like 40 of the ones he attempted, and it is, yeah. Sorry.
Oh yeah. We locked in with the same Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, formerly known as Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, both teams are correct. It is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The feat made, of course. Yeah, slightly less impressive by the fact that there was no 3-point line for the first half of his career, but he totally missed the other ones. So, all right, question number 9. Peter Svensson and Magnus Svenningsson, both heavy metal musicians, formed a band on October 31st, 1992, in, I'm sure I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, Jönköping, Sweden. Perfect sweater weather. Lead singer Nina Pearson lent her voice to the group and was responsible for singing the band's only one-hit wonder, which left many fans head over heels. Personally, I don't care for any of their other songs. But which band am I referring to?
We have an idea just based on some of the clues Jeff gave, so we're going to lock in with a band that that I've seen before and hope that it's right.
Then hearing head over heels, I think like Tears for Fears. I'm like, no, that's not right. I don't think we have anything to contribute on this one. I think. Yeah, we're probably going to just have to tap on this one.
Unfortunately, the Penny Pinchers aren't coming up with it. What did you guys say?
So, re-listening to the question, they're metal musicians, but that doesn't mean that the band was metal. And then you're looking for a Swedish, probably pop. I mean, Ace of Base is not probably a bad guess. But
no, it's not, yeah.
But what did we end up? We said a metal band that you like, which is?
Yeah, I said Halloween, but I believe they're German.
And unfortunately, neither team getting it. The correct answer is the Cardigans.
The Cardigans.
Sweater weather.
Oh, I love that song. Oh.
And two heavy metal musicians, both with a jazz theory background, started a metal band, kind of got bored of it, and then released that song.
I've never heard of the Cardigans.
You've heard
Love Fool, Romeo plus Juliet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
All right, question 10. And last question in the first round. It wouldn't be a Jeff game if there wasn't a little bit of a wah-wah question. So this is the one.
Don't do this.
Dr. Thomas Midgley Jr. was an American mechanical and chemical engineer. He played a major role in developing two technologies, which led to the New Scientist calling him a one-man environmental disaster. It's been said that no one organism has had more of an impact, probably negative, on the environment than Dr. Midgley. Which developments, one related to gasoline and the other refrigeration, was Dr. Midgley responsible for?
We can lock in over here.
You want to do
Yeah, I mean, just sticking with the theme here, we're locking in with two FR words, fracking and freon. So that's what we're locking in with.
All right, Penny Pinchers have that. What do you guys think?
We had the same thought.
We had the same thought. Matt wrote down freon right away and took us a little while, but we just said maybe it's fracking.
You are 100% correct on freon. Chlorofluorocarbons are part of the reason that there is a giant hole in the ozone layer. But unfortunately, no points are going to be awarded because his other main development was adding lead to gasoline.
See, I knew the gasoline one, but I didn't know the other one. So yep. Benefits to have me on your team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Suckers.
So. All right. The very spurned Ken. What are the scores looking like?
All right. Looks like it's still tied 60-60 at the end of the first round.
Not bad.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
All right. And for today's swing round, I would like to bring something back that we did not too long ago. Big credit to Jay Borsum. I really loved her swing round a little while ago when she was on. It was ABC. So every single question is going to be just an amalgamation of some letters. All 10 will total the 26 letters of the English alphabet.
Oh, yes.
You
yes,
bothered to do this?
I did bother to do this. I really liked it. And they say that, you know, good artists borrow and great artists steal. I would like to be a great artist. So I stole this idea.
All right.
So every answer will have letters that collectively.
Yeah, this is a good
question. That is correct.
Okay,
every answer will have letters.
Yes. Except the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Your first clue for number one, only medical profession where completing one degree automatically secures an additional doctorate. Number two, airport abbreviation for the 17th largest airport in the world, with approximately 55 million travelers passing through each year. Originally going to be named Idlewild. Question three, nickname for a short-lived TV character who was a pilot and married to wife Zoe. Question four, British TV show running since 2003, premises to be more entertaining than right. Question five, the abbreviation for the state of Vermont. This is the postal abbreviation. Number six, the 12th letter of the Greek alphabet. Its capital is stylized in English as a capital M. Question seven, in toxicology, indication of how deadly a substance is. Number eight, the abbreviation for cerium on the periodic table. Number nine, abbreviation for experience points in video games.
Finally, one I know.
And question number 10, periodic table abbreviation for zirconium.
All right, there are the swing round questions, and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The Nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back with the answers to the swing round. Jeff?
Yeah, it looks like everybody is in. Don't quite know how it went. I get the impression in the studio they may have a little trouble, but we'll see. All right. Question one was the only medical profession where completing one degree automatically secured an additional MD.
We were pretty lost on a lot of these, but we ended up with DO for this one.
Ooh,
we could use a do-over.
We could use a do-over. we don't like the alphabet. That's our new mantra here. But we just said PhD. We had no idea.
All right, no points, unfortunately. This is pretty common probably for half or so of our audience. This would be OBGYNs. They are secured both a degree in obstetrics and in gynecology.
Oh, makes sense.
And you managed to get rid of a bunch of difficult letters.
Yeah, that I did.
Good job, Jeff.
For some reason, we were just like, I think all of them are two or three letters at most, which really screwed us.
We had
us.
A bunch of letters left at the end.
All right. Question number two. The airport abbreviation for the 17th largest airport in the world, with approximately 55 million travelers passing through each year, originally going to be called Idlewild.
We said JFK.
We knew Rubbers. Of the Outcast movie called Idlewild with Big Boy and Andre 3000, and we just thought maybe it's New Orleans where I think the movie takes place. So we said, what, NOL?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something wrong because O is already gone.
Yeah.
The correct answer is JFK. It was supposed to be opened in the early 60s, right before JFK was assassinated, and the airport was renamed to JFK in his honor. Question number three. Nickname for a short-lived TV character who was a pilot, and he was married to his wife, Zoe. Penny Pinchers? Did you come up with this one?
No, we just formed a nickname based on the letters we had left, and now we're realizing that they were wrong. We said Swag.
Swag. Wow,
that's a cool name.
Almost the right letters, I think.
You got some of the right letters.
Oh, I just got it, but go ahead.
We thought that this might have been from the short-lived Firefly show, and we didn't know the pilot's name, so we said Dag.
You were correct. It is from Firefly. This character is named Wash.
Mm.
Wash. It was Alan Tudyk, right?
Alan Tudyk's character. Yep.
You got that far.
Not terrible.
Yeah. So no, some of those letters were in the Swag, so you could feel better hopefully about some
I'll
of your future
answers.
I'll
take that
as
a half win.
All right. Question number four. This is about the British TV show running since 2003. Where its premise is to be more entertaining than right.
We thought this might have been some sort of trivia game, so we said IQ. Oof.
And Neil?
Yeah, it's the only one we knew with 100% certainty. It's just the opposite of that, so we said QI.
Unfortunately, it is quite interesting. QI.
Oh, poop.
Oh, man.
All right, next one. You know, I wanted to throw an easy one in there. Abbreviation for the state of Vermont.
You can't say that because if we're wrong, then we'll feel worse.
Just kidding. You know, what's easy to me is, you know. All right, Penny Pinchers.
Thank you for an easy one. We got VT on this one.
We also said VT.
VT is correct. Hey. So you don't have to feel bad, Matt. Points all around.
I choose to feel bad.
That's your own problem. All right, question number six. This is the 12th letter of the Greek alphabet. Its capital is stylized like an English capital M.
So we locked in with mu or mu?
Neil and Matt?
We said the same.
And it is mu. You are correct. Mu. Number seven, in toxicology, indicates how deadly a substance is.
Well, this question was pretty deadly for us. We used all of the letters that we had left. We came up with B-Y-L-N.
Bion. We had no idea. We just were trying to use the letters we had left over, so we said KHC.
Yep. I didn't want to be so generous as to say it was also in a title of a Mudvayne album, or this is the lethal dose of something, LD. All right. Number eight was the periodic table abbreviation for the element cerium.
Well, we said CE.
We put SE.
CE is correct. Cerium is spelled C-E-R-I-U-M.
That would have been
yeah
good to know.
Get our lethal dose ready after this round.
All right, number 9 was the abbreviation for experience points, commonly seen in video games.
Oh, yeah, we locked in with XP.
We also locked in with XP.
XP was the abbreviation you should have been left with. EXP wouldn't work because of Cerium. So, and the last question in the round is just the periodic table abbreviation for zirconium.
Right, this is where all my 8th grade science comes in handy. We said ZR for this one.
We took a guess and said ZR as well.
ZR is correct. Both teams getting points on that one.
All right, you might have wanted to take a lethal dose, but looks like you guys did all right. You guys got half of these right for 85 total points at Money Monsters. And Penny Pinchers in the lead with 90 points. You got 6 right in that round.
Oh, they're called Money Monsters? I called them Money Grubbers earlier. Sorry.
We can be both.
Yeah, small redaction.
We could be everything.
All right. Yeah, not bad. You know, I that's about the performance I expected on that swing round. So we'll start it off with the first question in round 2. Showing Bethesda's dedication to making characters sound distinct from everyone else, they cast which real-life knight and leader across famous film and TV series as the Emperor of Tamriel in the Elder Scrolls Oblivion video game?
I'm good with your answer, Matt, if you want to lock in with that.
All right, we...
You're locked in over here, too.
Okay.
Oh, double lock-in. So what do you guys have at the Money Monsters?
So we clued in on leader, I think, meaning possibly captain of the Enterprise, maybe.
Yeah, and that would be in movie and TV, I believe, with Patrick Stewart.
Well, we honed in on leader, too, but we were thinking of the leader as in a king or Gandhi, so we said Ben Kingsley.
Not a bad guess. Funny, the film series I was talking about was actually X-Men, as he is the leader of the X-Men. Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, sweet.
Question number 2. This question I wrote for Ken, but sadly he's not playing.
I'll still enjoy it from here.
Nicknamed Panda, which Swedish NHL goaltender previously played in the NHL for the Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, New York Islanders, and Chicago Blackhawks before he flew the coop to his current team?
All right, we're going to lock in over here. So feel free to talk it out, guys.
So hockey is definitely like a complete blind spot for us. I feel bad because like the Capitals are pretty big here, but I just never got into them. So we're going to lock in with like kind of a Swedish sounding name that I associate with hockey, and Lindstrom.
Okay. Lindstrom is the guess.
There's a hockey player's name Lindstrom, so it's not a bad guess. I honestly could not remember this for the life of me. Based on the teams, Blackhawks flew the coop, maybe went to the Ducks. I know Niemi ended up there after playing for the Blackhawks, so we said Niemi.
Yeah, I didn't mean to mislead you. He actually flew the coop to the Las Vegas Golden Knights, as Matt had alluded to earlier in discussion. This would be Robin Lehner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of that person.
Oh, Robin.
Oh.
Boy Wonder.
That one flew right out of my head.
Yeah, I knew who it was, but I couldn't. I was never remembering his name.
All right. To question 3. Long before digital shorts were a mainstay of modern SNL, they often ran fake ads as their skits. Who could forget Undecided Voters, Peyton Manning for the United Way, Mom Jeans, and Dissing Your Dog? But before all that, there was a little drink, which went by what name, which was highly evocative of the type of water that they dredged up from the bottom of Lake Erie.
I watched a ton of SNL reruns when they were on Comedy Central all the time, so I probably saw this at some point. But, I mean, I can't think of anything that would be funny, like a well water type joke or something like that, so I don't really have anything.
All right, we're just going to lock in with a guest so they can... talk.
We were kind of in the same boat. All those ads you were talking about, I've seen them all, but definitely don't remember this one.
Sure.
We're going to say mud water.
Mud water?
An actual product.
Yeah, we wrote down...
those are not fake ads, and I keep thinking they are when he's stirring up that mud. It's like, Why do I drink mud water?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a real product, yeah.
Cleans out his bowels.
We wrote down mud water, but we knew it was a real product, and we just said for fun, we said maybe it's Cleveland Spring.
No, unfortunately, this is a little drink called Swill.
Oh, I kind of remember. Not really, though.
Swill.
Swill.
If anyone knows what Jeff's talking about, comment on the page or send us an email.
Post the link. Who was in this? What cast?
I think it was Phil Hartman.
That's definitely an older one. I thought you were going to go with before, like, Andy Samberg and Lonely Island and stuff, like Albert Brooks used to do short films.
The TV Funhouse.
But that was, like, in the 70s, yeah.
Right.
Then Robert Smigel and whatnot.
Yep. All right, question 4. Made of the following ingredients, which classic drink is the official drink of New Orleans? While the drink may not have originated there, it definitely has ties that go back to at least the 1850s. No word if a drunk Tom Cruise has ever been called this. The ingredients are cognac, absinthe, a sugar cube, and 2 dashes of Peychaud's bitters.
I don't know. I've never been to New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, I know they have like the hurricane drink and they have like the, it's a lot of like mixed drinks, but this doesn't seem like one that's like frozen or anything.
Is that Big Baby drink?
Oh, Sazerac maybe? They have a hotel Sazerac where you get a famous Sazerac in New Orleans.
Do that. Yeah.
Okay.
I've made these drinks before.
Oh my gosh.
I made them because you use the absinthe to rinse the glass and you dump it out. I've made them and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. I'm just going to
lock in with some. I like zombie.
Let's say zombie. It's
zombie. Locking in with zombie and over here at the Grubbers.
That's a cool drink name. I know
the Grubbers.
I know
the Money
from
Monsters.
The Money Monsters. Mm-hmm. I know from being in New Orleans, there's a hotel there that you get a famous drink. I don't know if it's the hotel's signature drink or the city's, but we locked in with Sazerac.
Neil, what Tom Cruise movie is coming out this year?
Maverick.
Yeah, and if he was drunk, it could be a Maverick. Sazerac.
No, that is,
that is a stretch.
That's horrible.
Boo.
But I like the question, though. I'm glad that we
Should
tried
be
one.
Fired immediately.
When Colleen and I went there for 2 days, we tried one at the bar. I remember that. Okay.
Was it good?
For me, it was. It made a very big face because it was very strong.
Yeah.
But Colleen liked it a lot.
Okay. Good to know. That's a good review.
That means everyone else will probably like it, not me.
1 out of 5. I made a face.
All right. Question 5 in the second round. Which actress won her first Oscar starring in a role for which she failed to win a Tony on Broadway? If it's any consolation, she did take home her first 4 of 10 Grammys for the role.
That was my guess.
Yeah.
Okay. We're locked in.
All right. Confidence in the studio.
I guess we'll lock in with Streisand.
Okay.
Barbara.
I believe it's her birthday today at the time of recording, her 80th birthday. We knew that Jennifer Hudson played Effie in Dreamgirls, which was a Tony Award winning musical, which she didn't play on Broadway, I don't believe. But she won a lot of Grammys, I'm sure. So we said Jennifer Hudson.
And the correct answer here is Barbara Streisand.
Oh, bad.
Is that for Funny Girl?
For Funny Girl. Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
All right, Ken, what do the scores look like after 5?
All right, after 5 questions, it looks like Penny Pinchers are at an even 100, picking up 1 question in that first half. Money Monsters, 105 with 2 correct answers.
On to question 6. Characters from Ready Player One, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and the title character from a 2001 book series, which became a 2020 film, all share which name with the ancient Greek goddess of the hunt, wilderness, wild animals, the moon, and chastity?
We can lock in.
Great character.
Yeah, we can lock in too.
And what did you say?
Oh, yeah, we love It's Always Sunny. So we locked in with Artemis.
And money?
We also said Artemis.
Artemis is the correct answer. On to question 7. I had to ask another sports question, but I don't know how to ask sports questions. So of the 15 NFL teams which have an animal as their team name, which animal is the heaviest by average individual weight? I will tell you, humans such as Vikings, Patriots, and 49ers are not counted among these calculations. This animal is more closely associated with the American West than the East, where the team is located.
What about Giants?
Giants are not animals, Ken. Yeah, the jet. The jet is the heaviest animal.
I would say that probably, yeah.
All the Cowboys, and you weight them together.
This one, they're associated with the West and they're in the East. So,
okay.
We're going to lock in.
It's not like, that doesn't really jump out at me as like,
It's got to be that.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I guess it's the name.
Yeah. I think we're both thinking and talking about the same exact animal.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah, I think so.
They had a club in the Flintstones, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I was thinking Hannibal Lecter.
Mm. we're locked in.
What'd you say?
Well, we thought an animal that was big in the West but existed with a team on the East would have to be like sort of the bison or the bills. So we said the Buffalo Bills.
All right. And I'll hand it over to Penny Pinchers. What'd you say?
You said the same thing.
Yeah, that is correct. The American bison or buffalo is the heaviest of all of the animals, and I looked them all up.
Now, how is the team name Bills associated with the word bison?
I'm curious about that myself, actually.
I don't know.
How is that derived? Yourself.
Buffalo.
Yeah, explain yourself.
Or the American bison.
I'm going to look that up. And actually, I'm curious, was bear up there? With?
Yeah, bears only weigh a few hundred pounds. Bison can weigh as much as 2,000 pounds.
Also, the American bison is not a buffalo whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Bills' name is derived from an All-America Football Conference franchise from Buffalo that was in turn named after Western Frontiersman Buffalo Bill.
Oh.
So, that is, yeah. But what I was looking for was the American bison. I even had to figure out what kind of a horse a bronco might be.
A Ford Bronco would weigh way more.
True.
All right, Jeff, put the lotion in the basket and read question 8.
You got it.
Did you draft me?
Since lines of longitude converge at the North and South Pole, it's almost impossible and very impractical to determine which time zone you are based in. Therefore, researchers in the Arctic and Antarctic regions of the Earth usually use this time zone associated with their research stations. For example, since nearly all flights to Antarctica and the South Pole originate from the third southernmost country by its southern point, what is the most commonly used time zone in Antarctica?
We're going to lock in with an answer.
I like the confidence.
One of the two of them. We're kind of 50-50 over here. We'll go Argentina.
All right. And they're locking in with Argentina. What'd you guys say?
We were also in South America, but I think the southernmost tip of South America is in Peru. I think it goes along the outside there. I don't know, but we said Peru.
You were right to think that goes pretty far south. Chile would be number one. Argentina would be number two. And the time zone most commonly used is actually New Zealand, where a lot of the flights boat travel originates from.
Wow. Well, we wrote Chile and Peru down, so I feel good that we named a couple of the top.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our Kiwi listeners.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We said New Zealand, but thought it was further south. It was.
Yeah. No, South America is very south.
Yeah.
As it turns out. Question number 9. Home to arguably the most famous race on the F1 calendar, which country has the highest population density?
Classic triviality question.
This is a classic Jeff question.
I think that's a country that Jeff likes.
He loves this country.
Geography, mm-hmm. Racing. This is my question.
Because there is a big race there, right?
Yeah, and that's an answer to either most or least population dense. So I think I'm thinking of San Marino. So we can lock in with this one.
Yeah, we're similarly locked in.
How would you say, Penny Pinchers?
We went with Monaco.
Okay.
Yeah, we know that Jeff has a Grace Kelly fetish. We said Monaco.
I do not have a Grace Kelly fetish. This question was written because the other day on Worldle, the country that popped up was very recognizable because if you can see a harbor in its outline, it's got to be Monaco. So I said Monaco.
Well, who doesn't have a Grace Kelly fetish? Let's be honest.
I do not. Question 10.
It's very adamant.
Question number 10. What unit used for measuring cloth is equivalent to 40 yards? You're likely better associating this name with a famous 8-time Olympic gold athlete, or less likely a 2008 animated crime-fighting dog.
A gold athlete? I didn't know they made them.
8-time Olympic gold medal winning athlete.
Okay.
Was it this one?
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
I remember seeing this with our students. Okay. Yeah, right.
The running guy.
Ah, yes, yes. Okay, we are locked in over here.
Yes. I don't know how we got to that stupid answer.
Cross the finish line somehow.
Penny Pinchers, what did you come up with? Are you locked in?
Yes, we are. We went with Bolt.
And you, you gentlemen, seem very enthusiastic about your answer.
They seemed it's so easy over there.
I know. Them.
But luckily you said the dumb crime-fighting movie, because I think when I was teaching, I think we showed the kids the Miley Cyrus movie, which I think is Bolt with John Travolta. So we said Bolt as well.
I think of it more as a John Travolta movie with Miley Cyrus, but Bolt is the correct answer either way. Yeah, didn't want to give it too much away, trying to figure out what his 40-yard time would be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Bolt is the correct answer either way.
John Travolta's 40 time?
Oh, Usain Bolt's.
Oh, okay.
Can he complete
Bolt,
a 40?
His Bolt time, if you will.
All right, that concludes the second round. It looks like Money Monsters in a slight lead with 145, and the Penny Pinchers right behind at 140.
All right, that'll take us to our final round, Neil.
Yeah, I believe so.
Anything you want to plug before our final round?
We already did it.
We had 20 minutes of plug earlier.
Oh, yeah, we plugged it. That.
Don't worry, folks. No more plug.
No more plug.
Give us those final categories now.
You got it. And your final five categories in order are white, blue, black, red, green.
I feel like you've done this before.
I have not.
Five flag questions.
It is not five flag questions. For those who already figured out that particular order, those are the five principal colors in Magic the Gathering. So
I know we've done this before.
The wagers are now in, so let's get the questions.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Your first question in the category of white. It's been said that good guys don't wear white. The only man to defeat Martin Scorsese in Best Director nominations is which director who earned 12 nominations throughout his brilliant career? He's tied with Frank Capra as the second winningest director in Oscars history with 3 wins. Question in the category of blue. The colors red, white, and or blue appear on all of the flags but 2 of the sovereign nations. Name either nation. Question in the category of black. Black Panther is the highest grossing film of all time with a color in the title. Not counting James Cameron's Avatar or Titanic, which film is the highest grossing if you consider that it's not a part of a film franchise? I am not including spiritual remakes. Question in red. A red dwarf is the smallest and coolest kind of star on the main sequence. Red dwarfs are by far the most common type of star in the Milky Way, at least in the neighborhood of the Sun. But because of their low luminosity, individual red dwarfs are not easily observed. What is a brown dwarf? Green. Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Mauritius, Indonesia, and the Maldives all have which common currency? This currency also makes an appearance across all 19 original titles of a very successful video game franchise.
Those are the questions, and we'll be right back to see how it all shakes out.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Calling all kids in the car. Brittany and Meredith here from the chart-topping Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast. Are you dreading another silent car ride with the fam? We've got the cure. 3 rounds of fresh trivia every single week. Movies, music, even science and Disney. We've got something for every trivia buff in the car. No more crickets chirping on those long journeys. Hooray! The Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast is your secret weapon for connecting and laughing with kids of all ages. Teens, toddlers, adults, it doesn't matter. Spark their curiosity and challenge their brains with every episode. New episodes drop weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Family Road Trip Trivia Podcast and turn those car rides into epic adventures.
And we're back. Let's go. Bring it home, Jeff.
All right.
Which is what Matt just said.
All right. So back to the final round. Categories again were themed around Magic the Gathering. So in the category of white, I want to know which director has had the most nominations with 12. He's tied with Frank Capra as the second winningest director in Oscars history with 3.
All right, 25 points on the line for Penny Pitchers. What'd you have?
Well, we thought there had been a curious lack of Spielberg, so we went with Spielberg.
30 points on the line for Money Monsters.
It's a good guess. I believe Spielberg was nominated 7 times. This is a guy that he likes a lot, though, which is why I know this one, also because of the 12, but I believe it's William Wyler.
Director of Ben-Hur, The Best Years of Our Lives, and Miss Miniver, all 3 were those winners. That was William Wyler.
I love Miss Miniver.
Are you a big fan of it?
I have never seen it.
Yeah. Best Years of Our Lives is very good. Yeah.
So that'll be points going to the monies, since I don't like team names. Category of blue. I just wanted to know one of the 2 flags of sovereign nations that lack the colors red, white, and or blue.
We wagered 30, and we're pretty sure that this is Jamaica or Ghana. But Jamaica is our answer, I guess.
Okay. And over to the penny pinchers. How much
that
did you wager?
Feel good because we also said Jamaica.
Jamaica is one of the 2 acceptable answers, only having green, yellow, and black in its flag. The other one I didn't think anyone would get, Sri Lanka.
Ooh, which you mentioned in question 5. Was that a little inspiration?
I don't know. All right. Third question was in the category of black. Black Panther is the highest grossing film of all time with a color in the title. That's where I started this question, but I ended wanting to know, after James Cameron's Avatar and Titanic, which film is the highest grossing film which is not part of a film franchise? I was not counting spiritual remakes.
So we wagered 30. This one was really tough because we had named a ton of movies. We know, like, in the top 10, it's basically all Disney. It's, you know, the Infinity War, Endgame, Spider-Man No Way Home, a lot of franchise, Star Wars. But we knew that the remakes, or the spiritual successor of The Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King, made a ton of money. And we were just going back and forth between those two. Matt pointed to Beauty and the Beast, and we locked in with Beauty and the Beast.
So we went with, having gotten that backwards, we went with Inside Out, not knowing.
Not a bad guess. As Neil alluded to, the top 10 is Avatar, Avengers Endgame, Titanic, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Avengers Infinity War, Spider-Man No Way Home, which is currently still in theaters, Jurassic World, and at number 7, The Lion King. With a total worldwide gross of $1.65 billion. Question in the category of red. A red dwarf is the smallest and coolest kind of star. But I wanted to know, what is a brown dwarf? And I'll take a varied and acceptable range of answers here.
All right, 30 points on the line for Penny Pinchers. What do you have?
We said it was a star that was close to death.
Matt, you explain.
25 points for you guys.
Yeah.
Explain this one.
We went more... a little less risk averse with 25, and we said it's a star that has died but has not yet imploded.
All right, I don't believe I can give any points. Brown dwarfs are not stars. They are substellar objects, and they are massive enough to not be able to sustain hydrogen nuclear fusion.
Oh, that was my second guess.
They tend to be, you know, objects in between the size of, like, Jupiter and a red dwarf star.
So during this game, we both have taken a lethal dose and are also ready to implode as well, man.
And the last question was in the category of green. Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Mauritius, Indonesia, and the Maldives all have which common currency? I left a pretty big country off that list. This currency also makes an appearance across all 19 original titles of a very successful video game franchise.
Okay, 30 points apiece. Let's start with the penny pinchers.
So we were kind of torn in between 2 different franchises, Donkey Kong and Legend of Zelda, and we ended up going with Zelda.
And the currency that they use in Zelda?
Oh, that would be the rupee.
Okay, locked in with rupee.
Yeah, when we realized that you weren't looking for, that the name of the currency wasn't in the title, but actually in the game, it made it much easier. And we said rupee.
I was talking about The Legend of Zelda, and that is the rupee. I left India off the list. I didn't want to make it too easy for For I know Matt knows all about the Indian rupee, so.
Yes.
All right.
I did my thesis on it.
That will conclude the game. It looks like it stayed pretty close back and forth in that final. But with 110, the Penny Pinchers finishing second. And a great effort by Money Monsters with 180. You are today's cream of the crop.
I am the cream.
Great job, Neil.
No, well, no, not really. But I screwed up with the muscle relaxer here. Great job to Christian and Aaron, because I felt like if you were here in Illinois and we needed substitutes for trivia, you two would be perfect, because it was basically just neck and neck the entire game, minus a few questions. So.
Oh, that is such an honor to hear you say that. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. We loved having you here, and we're so excited that you were able to get engaged to our show, which is insane and awesome at the same time. It
You're ranks... not talking about being engaged, like posting on the crop and stuff?
Well, that too. They're also engaged, but we it goes right up. It's on the Mount Rushmore of great things fans have done for us. Like Cheyenne Fletcher got a tattoo of our logo, which still boggles our mind, and someone, a couple got engaged to Dutch Boy's weird musings. So
I think why don't we get Dutch Boy to send them some well wishes for their upcoming nuptials?
Let's see. Oh, God.
Like, where is Dutch Boy? Let's bring him in right now.
Make sure to always put the roses in the milk.
What?
That's it's just an old proverb, I think.
Dutch boy, get out of here.
Put roses in your milk. I don't know.
Dutch boy, don't you need like practical advice? Like, don't leave all the cabinet doors open, or.
I won't stand for that.
I do it too.
Rinse all the plates before putting in dishwasher.
Oh, that's very helpful, Dutch boy. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you again, Christian, Aaron. Any parting remarks for us today?
You guys have just been like a huge part of our lives. Like every time, we're going on a car ride, every time we're going to the gym, every time I'm proposing to her, you guys are there. So it's been an honor being on the show. We're going to continue to listen, continue to, participate in our way. And just thank you guys for everything you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
I'm going to buy Neil's book.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we already bought it. So.
Oh well, thank you.
We were blown away at like the reviews you guys were reading at one of your last. That was like super cool. And Neil, just don't get too big for the rest of us.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Neil is probably the most grounded of the four of us.
We are riding those coattails.
But thank you so much again for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on today, and kind of overwhelming at times. But, I don't feel like we need the honors you gave us. But thank you again. And for the gentlemen in the studio, that would be Neil, Matt, and Ken, and myself. That was Triviality. Artemis is the correct answer. Ken was laughing over there to himself. Anything you want to share with the class?
Nope.
Okay, sounds good.
He just loved Artemis Fowl. Big fan.
Although when I'm playing Hades, I do hate it when I get the Artemis Boon because it's worthless, essentially.
What's the Artemis Boon? Is it like a pet boon record?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. No, you get like power-ups through the game, and the Artemis ones are...
Oh, okay.
Or sh**ier. Not what I need.
What are the good ones?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay,
fair enough.